as we were singing down here, I just kept picturing Jesus on the outside of the tomb with the stone rolled away, and what he left in there was the grave clothes, right? What he had been wrapped up in for 3 days, he left those away. And to me, he was just inviting Derek, let's run and be free together. And so can we just thank him for the freedom we have in Christ? Just put that in there. Just thank him right now. Just thank Jesus for the freedom that's found in Christ, that truth sets us free every time. So Jesus, we just thank you that you came to set us free. Free from sin, my goodness, yes. Free from fear, yes. Free from guilt, yes. Free from shame, yes. Free from trying to find our identity in something that this world has to offer, yes. You came to give us life and to give it abundantly. You came to set us free, and so we thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you that we are free, that we can't get any more free than we are from your blood, Jesus. Today we stand as free as we're ever gonna get. Lord, help us to live into that freedom, to live out that freedom that you came to give us. Jesus, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, would you lead us into truth today? Would you lead us into freedom today? In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Give somebody a fist bump beside you as you sit down. Tell them you are free. Come on, you are free. We are free. Yes, 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 yes. Freedom, man. It is good to be with you guys. Man, I'm pumped up today. I cut out a bunch of my notes first service, so I think I packed way too much in there, so I'm gonna jump right into it. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're gonna get there in about 5 minutes or so. Matthew chapter 6. We've been talking about generosity. So I want to start with the definition of generosity. You've seen this before. Generosity is willingly giving more than is expected or required. Generosity, living generously, is living in a way where we willingly give more than is expected or required. And we've been talking about this idea, whether it's forgiveness, giving somebody forgiveness, cutting off the debt that somebody owes us. Whether it's talking about honoring those, not because we feel like they deserve honor, but because they have great value in God's eyes. We talked about hope last week, and I pray that you were stirred up to hope as my friend Steve was here and shared how he encountered the living God in a creek bed when he was trying to run from the cops and messed up life, 135 pounds, yet encountered the living God and changed everything in his life. So much hope. And today we're going to continue talking about generosity. But the reason we're talking about generosity is because Jesus said these words in Acts chapter 20. He said this. He said, it is better to give than to receive. Right here at the end. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to what? Give than to receive. Right? This is the words of Jesus. Now, I love Jesus so much about how he lived his life, his teaching, because how he lived his life was aligned with what he taught. And so if Jesus said this, we need to know he also lived this principle out. It's better to give than to receive. And we know this because John chapter 3, verse 16, everybody has heard this. You've at least seen it on a sign at a sports game. Remember Tim Tebow used to wear that on his eye black. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Everybody say that he gave his only son so that we could have life. See, the heart of God is one of generosity. He is a God that we see perfectly represented in Jesus that lived a life of generosity in every way. Now, here's the thing. As his followers, as people that have received his love, received his forgiveness, have been brought from death to life, not just been changed, but we were actually dead and now we're alive. As a people, we want to learn how to be with Jesus. We want to learn what it means to be like him, and we want to learn what it means to do the things that he did. That's what discipleship is. That's like we're all apprentices of Jesus. We're learning from him by being with him. We're learning from him by doing what he did. And we're learning from him even as we think the way he thought. And I think generosity is a big part of that. And so today, I want to tackle generosity in a different lens. And today, the good news is, no matter if you're a young kid or you are a more mature adult, I'll put it that way, if you're male, female, wherever you're at in life, this message applies to every single one of us. Because today, drum roll please, we are going to talk about money. Yes. Now here's the good news, is that Jesus never shied away from talking about money. And so we don't need to tiptoe around it today, but here's my prayer this whole week has been that today's message, that the truth that we're gonna see in the scriptures, it would redeem our understanding of giving financially. I pray that. I believe that potentially we could leave here with more freedom than when we came out because of the truth that we're gonna see in the scriptures today. Now, as we're talking about money, I just want to get us all on the same page because there's some terms that you're hearing in church world that I think we oftentimes take for granted. I was doing pre-marriage counseling with a couple in Houston, and they had been coming to our church for about 10 months. And of course, in pre-marriage, we talk about money because, come on, help us. Most marriage issues are between money and sex. Can I get an amen in that, right? Two issues most people have in marriage are those two topics. And so in pre-marriage, we do both. I try to get them to turn as red as they can on both topics. It's really healthy, really fun. And so we were talking about money, and he had been there 10 months, had been raised in the church. And he said, why in the world do we pass those buckets around? He had no idea why the church has this thing called the tithe and offering. He had no concept of that. And so here, I don't want to assume that we all have the same, because here's the thing. Many of us come from different church backgrounds. Many of us, this is the first and only church you've ever been in, or maybe the first time in 10, 15, 20 years you've been in church. And so I want to start out by laying just the foundation of terms. And then from there, I want to talk about generous giving, all right? So number one thing you're going to hear in church is when people talk about the tithe. So what is a tithe? Here's the definition. Literally, it's translated one-tenth, or if you're a math person, it's 10%, right? And it's generally, in the scriptures, the first 10%, all right? So this is what the tithe means. So 10%. So what is 10% of 100? Y'all are smarter than this. Come on. It's not a trick question. What's 10% of 100? 10. What's 10% of 30,000? That's a little trickier, isn't it? 3,000, right? Yeah. So 10%, generally it's the first 10%. Now when we see the word tithe, most of the time it's in the Old Testament, okay? We just need to be clear with that. It was a law that was given in Deuteronomy chapter 8, 28. We see it right there in the law right there. But here's the thing about the tithe. It was actually given before the law. See, this is idea of this tenth of what we bring in, or the tenth of our increase, is actually a pre-law thing that God actually gave us, because we see Abraham actually gave a tenth of what he received in a battle to a priest. And so it's pre-law, it's in the law, and we actually see Jesus mention it. Now here's the thing, when Jesus tells them not to not tithe on certain things, he doesn't negate tithing. He says, you should do so. But remember, he's talking to Jewish people that are still under the law because he hadn't been killed yet. So Jesus actually never actually promotes the tithe, but he didn't actually ever say it's wrong, all right? So just to be clear, so here's what I want you to know, is you and I are not under the law anymore. Can we just get a celebration of that? Come on, anybody celebrating that today? Man, it's no longer based on the sacrifice of man. It's no longer based on what Derek can do or not do. Praise Jesus that he came to do what we couldn't do. Amen to that? So here's the good news. The tithe is not a law. Amen in the back corner. Guess what that means? That means tithing, what we're talking today, is not a heaven and hell issue. Can somebody say yes? Come on. But I think what I want to show you today, and what I believe, is that the tithe is not a law, but it is a gift from God to you and to me. Now, I grew up in church. My parents tried to teach me right and wrong and tried to teach me the things of God. And when I was 25, Kate and I, we started, just had some encounters with the Lord that really woke me up spiritually, and I began to get to know God, and I began to get to know the Holy Spirit, who is God, and then we got to some community, and for the first time in my life, I began to tithe at 25 years old, a young engineer making good money, and I had this unction, this desire to actually tithe, which is really weird if you're 25 years old and have a family, right? But I read this book, I started reading the scriptures, and I'm like, wow, like this is an incredible principle. It's a gift from God for me. I want to begin to tithe. But here's the problem. We had lived to a point where we were just getting by on the paycheck. Any of us ever been right there before? You can raise your hand. It's we're being honest. Most everyone has been there. By the way, that's not the goal for God in your life. It's to live at the edge or beyond your edge. Never, never. It's definitely not biblical stewardship. No condemnation there, but that's not God's desire for you, okay? Can we all just say that's true? So we had gotten to there. So in order for us to tithe, something had to happen. Either I had to make a lot more money, my wife would say, preach to that, or we had to cut out some costs. And so in that moment, I was an engineer. I had a steady income. I couldn't make more money. It's not like I could get more sales or anything. And so we did what we had to do. We started cutting some things out of our budget. We cut cable. We cut, you know, eating out a few times. We cut some other things. And we finally got it pared down to where we could actually give the first 10% to it. And I'll tell you, that first time I wrote that check, It was a little challenging, but also extremely freeing when I did that. And if I look back over my life and what God has done, I would say between finally getting plugged into a church community at that same time, meeting the Holy Spirit in a very real way for the first time, I think that God used two other things, that faith, it was required faith. One, I was water baptized. It's obedience. And I stepped out. I never had been. I'd been following Jesus for 12 years, never water baptized. And we began to tithe for the first time in our life. And as I look back and I try to understand how did God move and how has he moved in my life since that, I believe that faith of a 25-year-old to say, you know what, my first 10%, God, is yours. I'll trust you for the rest. It changed our life. It did. So that's the tithe, the first 10%. Now you also hear another word, offering. Tithe and offering. Now here's what the offering, an offering is a gift, a giving that is above and beyond the 10% or the tithe. Now here's what I need you to know, that the offering, when it's in the scriptures, is usually out of excess or out of abundance. So if I have abundance, then I can give an offering above the 10%. Here's what I need you to know. If you are in debt, if you have revolving credit, if you have credit card debt, if you've got a bunch of student loans, listen, you should not be offering more than the tithe. Unless the Holy Spirit leads you. That's always a question, right? But the offering is meant to be out of the excess, out of the abundance, not out of what good stewardship and wisdom looks like. Because here's the thing, if we would attack our debt, we would actually not too long have more money to give than ever before. Amen to that? So this is the offering, it's above and beyond. Then we have the third word, which is really what the New Testament we see when it comes to money in the church. That's the word generosity, which is giving freely as God prompts you and leads you. Now, here's the good and the about generosity. Generosity does not tie to a percentage. Now, here's the thing about generosity. It's very, very, I think, connected to some of the other things Jesus taught. Like in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, listen, you've heard it said, adultery is bad. We all say, right? Yeah. He said, I say, if you look at another woman lustfully, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Law, Jesus. Woo. He says, you've heard it said, murder is bad. We'd all say, yeah. He said, listen, if you call your brother a name, and if you have something going on in your heart, you've committed murder in your heart. Law, Jesus. The tithe, 10%. Jesus comes on the scene. Generosity, no longer limited to 10%. Now, you sure you don't want to live under the tithe, the law? See, there's so much freedom here. But the New Testament church was about generosity, not about a law. I got to do something. It's about God has done something and now I'm overflowing in my heart and I want to be generous with my money. And so these are three terms that I wanted to make sure we're all on the same page and not take it for granted. Now there's a lot of reasons to give, but I think there's three really bad reasons to give. And I want you to write these down if you're taking notes. Number one, never, never, never give out of manipulation. Never. If you feel like somebody on a Sunday morning or some organization or some individual is trying to manipulate you, trying to get you to do something for their gain, do not be generous to that person. Do you hear me? Don't do it because it's not the heart of the Father. But here's the other thing about manipulation is we, as we give, should not give in a way to manipulate other people. And that was for the mother-in-laws in the room. I love my mother-in-law, Lacey, I love you so much. But listen, generosity is given with no strings attached. Can somebody say amen to that? So we don't give to manipulate. I don't give you to get you to do something. I don't give to the church in order that the church would do something for me. Or, you know, when you give to the church, you don't get a special parking lot. You probably get on the parking team. Like, can you give generously? We got to see people that are extremely generous to the church, and I'm so grateful. But here's the thing. They don't get a front row spot. James 1 says, don't give favor to those that are rich. Lord, help us if we ever get to that point. Right? And so we never give to manipulate somebody else, and we never give because somebody else is manipulators. And the other thing is, the second thing that's tied to this is we don't give out of guilt. Can somebody just say, preach it harder, Derek? Listen, and I want to apologize because there are many pastors, and some of them are good-hearted, some not so much, that have talked about money in a way to you in this room that was covered in guilt. And I'm sorry. It's not God's heart. Never once should we give to a church or give to an organization because we feel guilty for doing so. Oh my goodness, Lord, help us. Here's the thing you need to know. God never is gonna guilt you to do something. Never, he's not gonna do it. And so I just want to tell you, I'm sorry if you've been in a church that has guilted you or manipulated you or, you know, tried to use you in some way for money. That's not our heart. And listen, if you ever feel that way about me and a message that I share or anybody on our team, I want you to do the most loving thing you could do is come and talk to me about it. Because you need to know our heart, especially when it talks about money, is never one of guilt or manipulation. And we shouldn't be given because of that. God loves a cheerful giver, not a guilted giver, right? And so here at this church, we don't believe in guilt. It's not from God. We believe in freedom. That's what generosity is. Third thing is we should never give to be seen. Jesus talked about this. He, in this day, the religious leaders, they would have, you know, places where they would give their money and they would come in and they would make a big racket about their giving. You know, those coins, they make a lot of money. Just think about bringing quarters for your offering. That would be annoying, by the way. But if you did that, And you poured them in and you made a big noise and everybody's like, oh my goodness, Brian's giving today. He's giving a lot of money. Listen, that is not of God. Because Jesus looks at that person and then he gets their attention over this widow and he says, look at this lady. She's giving two little pieces, two coins. He said, this lady, she's giving out of her lack, out of all that she has. And these guys, they're getting out of her abundance. Her gift is greater than their gift. So we should never give to be seen, man. That's not of the Lord. I don't want to be caught for that. Jesus said, don't let your left hand see what your right hand is doing, right? So this is the kind of generosity we have, not to be seen, not to get our face on a front page of a paper. So these are some reasons not to give, but in our time remaining, I'm going to cover a few reasons that we should give. Number one is that we give because it connects us to the Father's heart. We give because it connects us to God's heart. This is what Matthew chapter 6, if you're there, I want you to see this passage, verse 19. It's going to be on the screen as well. Jesus is speaking. He says, do not lay for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Listen to verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I taught on this, maybe a year ago, but this is so powerful if we would understand that God has given us money and in it is a lot of power because in it we can actually dictate where our heart is going to be. So where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so if my treasure is in sending my kid to University of Tennessee, God help me in that not to be the case. But if it is, guess where my heart will be? You'll be seeing me wear orange and not Texas orange, but UT orange because my heart is going to go where my treasure is. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. But here's the beautiful thing is we can also sow in and give our money to things that we know are God's heart as well. Listen, when you give to a single parent, you better bet you God's heart is in that. And guess what you're doing? You're connecting with God's heart. When you give to somebody who you know has come on down in hard times and Christmas is coming up or Thanksgiving and you go out of your way to give to them, to allow them to have a time with their family, listen, you better bet you your heart is connecting with God. And I'll tell you another thing, and this goes back to the local church, is God loves his church. Ephesians 5 is not just a marriage passage. It says that Christ loved the church so much that he gave his son. You need to hear this. God loves his church. Now, when he says church, it's not this building. It's not our 160 acres that he loves. It's not the future building. If God ever gives us that in the next decade, it's none of that. You know what God loves and what the church is? The church is the people of God drawn by God to worship God. That's what the church is. And what we see in the New Testament, what we see even in Revelation, the earliest phase, is that the church he's talking about is the local gathering of believers that we call the church. And I'm so blessed that we are one of many churches in this region. But here's the thing. We know very clearly Jesus died for his bride, the church. And so when we give to a local church, whether it's here or maybe you're a visitor and you go to another church, when you sow into your local church, this is what you can know. Your heart is being connected to the Father's heart because he loves that church more than you do, more than I do, right? We get to send our heart where we send our money, and it's a beautiful thing. Secondly, biblical reasons to give is that giving anchors us in our eternal destination. This is really, really healthy because in our culture, we so live for today, which by the way, today matters to God. Today matters. He said, let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He was talking about the present. And so we value today. God is here in this moment. But we got to remind ourselves sometime that this life, even if you live to 100 years old, which I actually got to go speak at a assisted living, and the guy running the technology was 101 years old. So if you're older in this room, no issues with that, right? Clicking on the thing, 101 years old, awesome. So that 101 year old new friend that I have, listen, you need to know if you live 100 years, it's still a blink in the eye compared to eternity. That the scriptures say it's like a vanishing vapor, that even if you have 100 years, man, that still so pales in comparison to what eternity is gonna be. And so when we give, when we generously give, this is what we do. We are reminding ourselves that we aren't just living for today, but for eternity. That's what the scripture says. He says, don't just do things and have treasures here on this earth that are gonna be rusting away, that are gonna be potentially stolen, that are gonna let you down. He says, instead, sow into heaven. Put your treasures in eternal things. And in doing so, you're gonna put rewards up in heaven that you'll someday get to receive. And they're not just gonna be a short-term reward. If you're like my kids, man, you get a new toy and it's great for about 3 days. Then they forget about it. Men, women, listen, we're the same way. You get that new toy, it's great. You get that high, we do, it's natural. But I'm gonna tell you, it's not gonna be the thing that really gives you hope and joy in life. It's not bad, but it's also not eternal, right? And so when we give, we see that we're actually reminding ourselves that we are eternal beings with an eternal destination. Now, if you have your Bible and you flipped over, I want you to go to 1 Timothy. It's towards the back of the New Testament, chapter 6. I'll give you a second to get there, right before 2 Timothy. I love this book because this is Paul. He's mentoring a younger man of faith. He's mentoring Timothy. He's teaching him a lot of things about what it looks like to be a man of faith, a man of God, interacting with people. And so for me as a younger pastor, I learn a lot from the way that Paul interacts with Timothy. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at verse 17, starting in verse 17. This is what Paul writes. He says, as for the rich in this present age, so those that have money, that have means, which by the way, most of us compared to the world, we would all be rich, whether you have a million or you're making 25, 30 grand. If you have a car, a house, food on the table, you would be considered rich around the world, okay? So he said, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty. Don't be prideful about your money. Don't find your value in it. He goes on and says, nor set their hopes in uncertainty of riches, but on God. He says, man, don't place your hope and your joy and your happiness in the money and the cars and all that stuff. Don't place your money there. Instead, place your hope in God, who provides richly to us with everything to enjoy. Can we just take a deep breath and thank God that he wants us to enjoy the things we have? Like if you have a boat, God doesn't care about that. He wants you to enjoy it. Don't feel bad about that. If you have a house, man, enjoy your house and let others enjoy it too. God doesn't want you just to be the poorest of the poor. That's not his desire for you, okay? He says that he gave us all these things to enjoy. And then look at verse 18. He says, this is the rich, they are to do good, to be rich in good works. And then look at it says, to be generous. There's that word generous. To be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. See, he's saying, listen, don't place all your hope and your value in today. Recognize that you have the potential to actually give generously into things that are actually gonna last for eternity. And when we do that, we remind ourselves that we're not just temporary, we're eternal beings that are gonna be dwelling with the King of Kings forever, and it's gonna be amazing. And that the rewards of today's spending can actually be felt for eternity. That's a huge concept to think about. Thirdly, this is where I'll get close to ending here. Thirdly, is that giving promotes a God-honoring relationship with money and finances. Giving promotes a God-honoring relationship with money and finance. If you're in 1 Timothy 6, just look a few verses before that. Now, this passage, just to warn you, has been one that's been used to manipulate people like crazy, okay? So hear my heart. This is the truth of scripture. We can take real truth and we can manipulate it. Everybody knows that? So here is freedom that's gonna set some people free if we receive it, okay? This is what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. It says, but godliness with contentment is of great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of the world. Can everybody say amen to that? Whether you die a millionaire, you die poor, broke, you die homeless, listen, we all end up in the same place 6 feet under with not taking anything with us. And he says, be reminded of that. And then he goes on and he says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Now that does not say having wealth is bad. time and time and again in the scriptures, actually the blessings of God yields a lot of money, okay? So this is not saying we should all just be dirt poor. No, that's not what this is saying. It's been taught that many times, it's not true. But he says, if you prioritize money above everything else, be careful, because it's gonna lead you astray and it's gonna leave you empty. And then he goes on, verse 10, this is the one that we all know. For the love of money, not money, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. So he's saying, listen guys, be careful with your relationship with money. It's not bad, it's amoral. It can be used for really good, it can be used for really bad. Just don't make money your God. Don't pursue it above everything else, because if you do, what he's saying is he's seen many people go off the tracks and run a different way, and probably you've seen that same thing. Listen, there's some people in here, you have a lot of wealth. Don't feel guilty about that. There's nothing wrong with that. But here in this room, there's people that you know, not in this room, but you're probably in this room that you know somebody who they've made it their mission in life to make a lot of money. Once again, not bad to make a lot of money. But when that becomes our priority, you recognize that, man, things go south real quick. I had a friend in Houston, he was an oil and gas guy. He had a friend that he would meet with, a mentor, was in his 60s. Guy had hundreds of millions of dollars. He made it huge in oil and gas and was uber, uber wealthy. And yet he wanted to meet with my friend every so often. And he said, my friend said it was so sad when he met with him because the guy was so lonely. He hadn't talked to his kids for 20 years. Divorced, all by himself, 10,000 plus square foot house, all the toys you could ever imagine, yet was so empty on the inside. You see, money is not bad. Having a lot of money is not bad. But it's our relationship with money that can get us sideways. And so here's the good thing about living generously. It's an act of war against making money our God. When I send my money to do things that I know have an eternal value, I am reminding myself, today is not the end. That I'm living for something way, way bigger down in the future. That I'm storing up treasures in heaven, and it's a beautiful thing, and God gave us this, whether it's the tithe, whether it's giving above and beyond, whether it's generosity, God gave this to us because he doesn't care about your money as much as he does about your heart. Generosity is not a financial issue, it is a heart issue. You need to hear me. And giving, whether it's to a local church, whether it's to an organization, whether it's to an individual, man, God doesn't need your money. Don't think of yourself that much. He doesn't need your money. He's got storehouses. He's got everything. It's all his anyhow, by the way. What he wants is your heart. And he knows as your money goes, so will your heart. So as I was praying last night and preparing for it, I kept getting this picture. And it was us as a church. We were praying over our finances together. But specifically, it was our husbands and wives that are represented here holding hands together. And so if you're with your spouse here today, I just want you to grab the hand of your spouse. If you're not married, you're single, or your spouse isn't here, I still want you to pray with us, but I don't know. You know, we pray before we eat, which is good, because I don't want to die when I eat. I don't know about you. That's a joke, by the way. That's not. It's us pausing before we eat to give thanks, which is really important. But I'll tell you what we don't pray for very often is we don't understand God's heart to be generous towards us with our finances. So this morning, before we sing this last song, which is Yes and Amen, which literally means, Lord, let it be so. That's what amen means, let it be so. I want us to take a moment, husbands and wife, you holding hands, individuals. I want you to pray that God would bless your finances. Remember in Genesis, I think it's Genesis 13, he says, you're gonna be blessed to what? To be a blessing. So in this prayer where we're praying, we wanna ask God that, God, would you increase my income, would you help me to be a good steward, but would you bless me, Lord, not so that I can hoard it all and to make it my God, but would you bless me so that I can give it away, so that I can be generous with what you give me? That's the prayer. And so if that's you right now and you got your spouse, just pray right now that God would increase your finances, that he would bless you financially. And just ask him, just right now, would you say, Lord, would you show me where I can be generous to somebody this holiday season? Would you show me somebody at the coffee shop, somebody at a restaurant? Would you make known to me a family that's in need that I could be a conduit of your generous love in this community? Just ask him. Just even tell him, Lord, I wanna be generous. I wanna be generous with my money. Show me how to do that. Show me how to give money in order that I can connect with your heart. So Jesus, just as Tyler said, we want to bring it all to you and trust you. It's all yours to begin with. You really don't care as much about the 10% as you do our heart. And so, Lord, we do want to align with you, though. And we don't want money to be our God. We don't want this idea of somehow arriving at some amount of money would somehow give us hope. Lord, we want to place our hope in you alone. And we want to represent you, Jesus, on this earth, just like you walked around, that we would be generous with our forgiveness, with our hope, with our honor, but also with our money. That in doing so, we would activate our faith and we would experience you in fresh new ways, that you would be honored. So Lord, thank you for all that you have given us. Thank you for our incomes. Lord, may we honor you in the way that we spend it and the way that we give it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing this last song together.